2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to be looking at the giving of the Macedonians. That is the message replicas of the original model of giving. We're given a church that is going to model to you and I a giving. What should you look like? What should our church look like in this area of giving? Chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he began, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to glean the truths of this model of giving church of Macedonia. We ask, Lord, as we look at it, we would compare our own hearts, we would compare our own giving, we would truly make it an aspect of our life that we have a giving heart to help the cause of Christ. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so really what Paul is writing to the Corinthian church is saying, you know, you need to grow and you need to be involved in this idea of giving and taking care of the needs of the Christian community as they arise. And in this scenario, it's talking and referencing the church of Jerusalem that was going through a year of poverty. There was great strain and great financial strain. And so, in that, the news got to the church of Macedonia. And Paul's saying, look, Corinthian church, this is how they responded. Now, he's writing to the Corinthian church dealing with its issues and scenarios, but the Corinthian church certainly wasn't a poor church. It was in a high commerce area. Those who were in the church were maybe even called affluent. They definitely had more money in that church than the church of Macedonia. And so Paul says, look, this church, this group of brethren, I want you to look at this group of brethren, and the proposition would be this: you must model your giving by this biblical example. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, the area of Macedonia. Okay, so I want you to look at this as the grace of God. We know these churches are healthy because they do what? They give abundantly. So the first mark of a mature Christian church is that they are liberal in their giving. They look for opportunity to support the causes of Christ in whatever manner is called upon them. A generous giving is going to be beyond your tithe. Generous giving is going to be beyond an occasional love offering. Generous giving is going to be an attitude first. So, looking, he says, at these churches, the grace of God is obviously amongst them and among them. And how do I know that, Paul says? Because they're giving liberally. The grace has worked in their hearts. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That's Paul's fancy way of saying it. These churches of Macedonia, the area of Macedonia, you know what they did? They were in great poverty themselves. They could have said, we don't have anything to give. But their heart was so burdened for the church of Jerusalem that they wanted to give. And they sought for opportunity to give. And that this was evidence of the work of God in their life. This was not natural. This is not the way that this is not the natural way man responds when he is in poverty. When the natural man is in poverty, what does he look? What does he do? Give, give, give. He doesn't look to give. He looks to receive. And in some cases, that's appropriate. If you have an elderly couple who are, you know, they're destitute, and they may not have their hand out, but if you go and you take care of them, you give them, they have to receive. Why? Because they're not able to provide for themselves. There are appropriate, but those who are in poverty, because they're working hard, they can't get ahead, they just seem to be just barely paying the bills. The natural way is when they come to church, it's not like they're going to be giving. They're coming to church and they hope that you might think of them when Thanksgiving comes along. They get an extra turkey from you. The normal way of thinking is, well, we'll hang out there because if our heat bill is bad, maybe the church will be there to help us cover our heat bill. We don't have much money. Maybe the church will be there to help us. We'll serve. We'll be a part of the church, but we don't have much to give. In fact, we're probably not going to give any monetarily. Now, this is talking about monetary giving. It's not talking about giving of time and going over there to help rebuild the church and do a missions trip over there. No, it's talking about monetary giving. Poverty, and they gave of their rich liberality. He's showing this contrast on purpose and saying, it is not natural, but it is of God. This abounding giving. Giving to Christ's work results in a blessing in the midst of overwhelming trial. When you give in the midst of poverty, you give in the midst of trial, you give in the midst of a hardship, God gives joy. God fills that you as a believer with great joy. This abounding joyous giving was the evidence. They experienced abundance of joy while giving out of deep poverty. Acts 13, 50, 52. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. What happens when you keep serving the Lord in the midst of hardship and rejection? You receive great joy. And this church of Macedonia is exactly the same. Persecution for the sake of the Lord commonly has joy with it. You are persecuted for the sake of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. What happens often is poverty makes you single-minded. You're not distracted by all the other things. You get up in the morning, you work hard, and you go to bed at night, trying to pay the bills. It's a simple life, and with it comes a singleness of purpose. One commentary states, poverty aided in making them single instead of double-minded, simply devoid of multifarious distractions. Hence, sincerity with a single object to please the Lord by giving sacrificially. We don't have much to give, but we'll give what we have. What does God do with somebody who doesn't have much to give, but they give with what they have? He does much with it. Who does he set up as the example at the temple, as the example of biblical giving? The Pharisees or the widow with two mites? The widow with two mites. Because she gave all of what she had. Now remember, all of what she had made that week. Maybe she was going to have two mites the next week, or two mites by the next month. But the point was, what she had is what she gave. She gave all of it. And would do it again. And would do it again. And would do it with great joy. In our day and age, where we've got people on TV asking for your money, you've got people on the radio asking for your money, there's something that's happening to North American Christianity. We're getting kind of calloused. We're getting guarded with giving money. And some of that's appropriate. But sometimes that guardedness even comes when it comes into your local church. Don't let it happen. Remember, look for opportunities to give, because out of the abundance of your poverty, when you give liberally, God will reward you with great joy. Practice and preach. God will fill you with great joy. They did not give out of duty. Very important to understand that. They did not give out of abundant surplus. You know, when a millionaire comes and he puts $10,000 in the plate, and you put your $1,000 or your $500, who gave the most? You did. Because percentage-wise, it was a great sacrifice to you. The millionaire, drop in the pocket. It's like giving a penny. I bet so much, hey, I don't know what to do with it. Here, put some there, da-da-da. Now, I am not saying that all rich people give that way. There are some rich people who give, you know, 90% of their income, and they live off 10%. And they are to be praised as a godly example. Praise the Lord for that. But to the best of my knowledge, none of you are millionaires. Okay? But you must have a biblical attitude towards giving. You know, the lights stay on because of your heart. Food on my table gets there because of your heart. The missionaries stay on the mission fields because of your heart. The needs that arise in this community that we can minister to and show Christ, we do that because of your heart. If you maintain this giving heart, it is vital that we model after the Macedonian church. They gave in their great poverty. How many of you, have you ever gotten to that point and say, I don't have anything to give, I can't give. I sure would like to give to Ben Peterson, but I don't have anything. It was a tough week. I'm not saying you did that, but you've been in scenarios where that's exactly what you thought, and so you didn't give. Oh, what a missed opportunity to step over faith. Those are the times when if you'll give with a pure heart, God will take care of you. He will. Because God is a good God. God's a loving God. God's taking account of what you give. Paul wanted it for the Corinthians to give that way so they would grow in their knowledge and strength of Jesus. He didn't want it for the money. He wanted it for them to grow and know their Christ in a very special way. Giving in those times, when it seems impractical, when it seems impossible, just makes you more creative. There's always ways to give. Maybe you have to sell off that prize, whatever, just to be able to give. Maybe you have to give up going to McDonald's for a month. We got it pretty good here, don't we? Really good. I don't think we are in a position, and I'm not asking God to put us in that position of the Macedonians. We're not sitting here in poverty. We're sitting here in great comfort with our incomes. But do you sacrificially give? Meaning, do you give to the point it hurts? Meaning, you get to the point you have to give up something. You can't go on that trip you wanted to go on because you were given. You can't buy that new vehicle that you want. You have to buy something a little less because you don't want to interrupt your giving. You can't go down the list. I have no idea. I don't live in your world. You can't have cable because if you give up cable, you'll have enough to keep giving. Giving should be the first priority. The luxury should be second. Okay? Giving should be our first priority. Luxuries should be the second. Paul declared that they evidenced God's working in them when they gave out of their ability and beyond. Notice they gave of what they had. They did not promise to give mystically of what they did not have. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'll give if God brings it in. It was, I'll give, and I'll find a way to sacrifice to help this church in Jerusalem, because they need our help, and we're here for it. What do you do for them? What do you do for them? So, George, Chad calls up and says, I'm broke down between here and Minneapolis. I just got that call this afternoon. What are you ready to do? What are you ready to do? Are you ready to get in the truck and go? Ready to fill the tank and unexpected expense and go? And yeah. Why? Because you love your son and you're willing to sacrifice for him. Do we love our Lord and are we willing to sacrifice at a minute's notice to respond to his cause? Sure. Whatever Tim and Heather need, yeah, I'm ready to do that. And I was able to call a Christian family in Thunder Bay and say, hey, can you help my family? That was spontaneous. They were ready. They responded. And you know what? It's going to cost them something. It's going to cost them food that they didn't expect tonight. It's going to cost them inconvenience that they didn't expect tonight. They already got insulted by my grandson. It's an inconvenience. They had to take two vehicles because most of the vehicles were too small. So Roman and Liddy got in the vehicle, and Bernard got in his vehicle, and they drove and picked up these kids and bring them back. That's spontaneous giving. That's responding to the cause of Christ immediately. And so the call came, and they responded. They gave beyond their reasonable measure. They may have had to sell off possessions. They may have had to give up purchases. They may have had to give up food. I have been in Europe where the people that I was eating, I noticed they weren't. They didn't have enough food to feed the guests and themselves. And it would have been a dishonor if I didn't eat. Very strange position to be in. Because what I want to do is like, hey, I got plenty. I'm from North America. I won't die. I can skip a meal. They're killing the fatted calf and they're eating very little. Whatever's left over, if there's left over, they'll eat that. They were sacrificially giving to their guests. They may have to give up things. This was a choice made by them without pressure tactics. They responded to the genuine need. God was the motivator of their heart. Do you respond without manipulation when you see needs? Do you have a heart that wants to fulfill those needs? You know, in my ministry, one of the hardest adjustments in my life is I work for what you get, work hard, And it's your money you work for. And then I go into ministry, and guess what? I am a beggar. I preach to you, I don't demand money. You choose whether you're going to give me money or not. And by faith, I have to trust that you're going to maintain a heart to continue to give me money. If I work harder, do I get more money? Nope. If I work less, do I get more money? No. And my point is, I have no control over the giving. I have to sit here, and it's a very vulnerable position to be in. because I'm dependent on you maintaining a sweet spirit with God. Now, I don't go home and sweat about it and have a heart attack and, oh no, what if they don't like me? What if I say something they don't give? I don't care. If you don't give, guess what? I go back to work. But I want you to understand that there is that idea that you're going to see to it that pastor's taken care of, that he's not going to be destitute on the street. We'll make sure of that. We're committed to that. Now, I believe you are. I believe you are. But throughout ministry, I can't tell you how many times somebody, and it's very awkward, somebody comes out and they shake my hand. Just happened when I was down in Calvary. It happens here on occasion. Goes to shake my hand. I'm scared to shake people's hands now. And I feel something between the hands. I'm like, that's money. Oh. God says, shut up and receive it with thanksgiving. It's a humbling event in my life. Do you know what it is? It's a glorious event in those who are given. They're recognizing something and they want to give and say, hey, I've had some of you in this church family put tires on my truck. And that's some real practical thinking. That's taking time to pray through your pastor and say, hey, well, how can I be a blessing? I've had some of you send, give me a card with bridge tickets. Whew, that's thinking. I go through them pretty regular. I think it's 3 a month or 4 a month. I'm not sure. It's up there. Creative giving. So I'm not even scolding you. I hope you're not being scolded. I hope you're not even taking it that way. But it's a great reminder to say, am I ready to give? Am I looking for opportunity to give? Because they did. And never accept this. I don't have anything to give. You always, always have something. These, in their great poverty, in their great tribulation, found ways and became creative in their giving. Verse 4 and 5, giving of Christ's ministry means giving of self first. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They begged them, please let us help these people in Jerusalem. And the apostles were saying, no, no, you're too poor. You don't have anything to give. No, 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 please let us do this. We long to come alongside our brothers and help. How passionate are you about giving? They were so passionate, they were begging, please let us make this sacrifice. And then, verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. That's a powerful verse. They did it because they loved God. They loved Him so much, they wanted anything that was connected to God to prosper. And they were going to do whatever they could do to make sure it prospered. We do faith promise giving. We're going to be coming up on that pretty soon. We take on missionaries and we commit each year to give so much of our missions so that we can keep these missionaries on the field. I just got a call. Sasha is coming back to America and reporting to churches. And so he asked if I could give him an invitation letter so he could get a visa to come and report to us. That's a great thing, right? We get to see our missionary in Turkey. And so you do that through your faith promise giving. You do that through the camp ministry. You are giving. Camp ministry, there's thousands of dollars by your giving that camp ministry stays going. We give the annual report. It's all broke down there. I think last year was $6,000 to $7,000, and every bit of that was met by free will giving, by other churches giving, and by us giving. But my point is this. That doesn't happen without the generosity and the commitment of people who love Jesus that want the cause of Jesus to go forward. You have to be in love with Christ first. You have to first be about Him. And if you're giving yourself to Him, He will move in your heart to serve Him by giving. See, I get to serve Him by preaching, by teaching, by going on the foreign mission field. I get to serve Him in those tangible ways, right? To go do stuff you can't do. But one thing you can do is make sure that it's financially taken care of so that ministry is being done all over the world. And the only way you're going to stay committed to that is that you stay committed to Christ and growing and loving and walking with Him. Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart is unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. With good will do service as to the Lord, and not to men. Why should you give? So people see that you're a giver? No. If you're giving from your heart, you're giving. You'd prefer that there was no record at all. But we kind of have to keep records here in Canada. It keeps everybody honest. Right? It's good. It's good to have the budget. It's good to have the tally at the end of the year. Some of you may choose to give in your offering just cash without an envelope. And that's your choice. That's fine. There is a tax deduction. And by keeping record, we're able to do that. The other advantage of record keeping is we get to know which families are faithfully supporting us and which ones aren't. So it helps us to say, hey, it wasn't some rich guy that put cash in place. We have some idea of who. But the point of this is, you don't give to be seen. You give because you love God.
Amen.
Some of the Baptists have wrestled with the offering plate. Well, let's not do an offering plate. Because if we do an offering plate, everybody gets to see you giving. Well, that's why we give you envelopes. So you can cover up, nobody sees how much you're giving. But we should all be giving in the act of worship. We should be giving our tithes, gifts, and offerings as a public act of worship. How do we teach our children how to give if we don't show them how to give, that we're giving? But, you know, there's an instructional side of it. You first must give of yourself. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord shall receive the reward of inheritance, for he served the Lord Christ. You think that was an important emphasis of Paul? You think Paul was concerned about your attitude in giving? I just read that in Ephesians. Who wrote Ephesians? Paul did. I just read Colossians. Who wrote Colossians? Paul did. Let's go to Romans. Romans 6:11. Likewise ye also reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it to the lust thereof. Surrender to God. Make sure you are that Christ is Lord. Give yourself completely to Him. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the first start is love God and surrender to Him. But if you love God and are surrendered to Him, there's one thing that will be consistent in every mature Christian's life. Every Christian who loves Jesus, they'll be givers towards promoting the cause of Christ. Now, here comes the warning, and I'm sad that I have to say this. Be careful to give beyond your local church. Careful giving beyond your local church. I didn't say don't give beyond your local church. Look for opportunity. If there's a neighbor that needs help, man, get in there. Because you know your neighbor. But these causes like Red Cross and UNICEF, that folks, they're taking your money and it's going to causes that you can't endorse. You can't. If you look up UNICEF, UNICEF supports abortion. And they call that population control, which is a good thing. You want your money going to those things? No. The advantage of local church giving is local church authority. You can control where it goes, and it goes towards the cause of Christ, and there's accountability. So be careful. Don't lose your giving heart. Give to your neighbor if he needs it. Look for opportunity to give. But use wisdom. Be cautious. Notice that the churches of Macedonia gave to the apostles who they trusted, who would then go and take the money to the church of Jerusalem. It would be given. Do you think the apostles dipped into that and said, I'll take my percentage, the carrier fee. I'll take my carrier fee. Like, no. They were supported by churches. They were taken care of. But that money, all of that money, went to the church of Jerusalem. Most of your organizations, 50 to 90% in that range of your first dollar, of every dollar that you give to these outside organizations, goes to the administration to pay them to handle your money. That doesn't happen here. So be careful in the giving, but make sure you are a giver looking for opportunities to give and to be a blessing. I do want you to know you have been that for me. Okay? I believe I'm kind of preaching to the choir today. Maybe I'm not, because I don't know who gives and who doesn't. But if you love Christ, there's something that will be consistent with every Christian who loves Christ. Will have a giving spirit. That's a fact. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.